Delete Me makes it easy, quick, and safe to remove your personal data online at a time when surveillance and data breaches are common enough to make everybody vulnerable. It is easier than ever to find personal information about people online. Having your address, your phone number, family members' names just hanging out there online, it's all pretty scary stuff, right? With Delete Me, you can protect your personal privacy or the privacy of your business from doxing attacks before sensitive information can be exploited. Look, I'm online all the time, and it freaks me out that my info is out there. Take control of your data. Keep your private life private by signing up for Delete Me now at a special discount just for you guys. Get 20% off your Delete Me plan when you go to join DeleteMe.com/Burt. Use the promo code Burt at checkout. That's joindeleteme.com/Burt. Enter the code Burt, B-E-R-T, at checkout.
The Burt Show.
How's everybody doing today? How are you, Abby?
It was good, although I got violently humbled last night. I was at the Jezebel magazine party, nice. Honoring the hottest and most single people in Atlanta, which, of course, is me, because I'm on the cover.
There must have been so much security.
Oh, my God. Security out the wazoo. The face cards on some of these people. Oh, my God. I walked in. I was blinded.
What is a face card?
It's like someone who's stunningly beautiful in the face. Like, okay. You walk in and you're like, I can't even look at you. Like, you're so attractive. So I walk in, and admittedly, I had to drag myself to this party because it's a Monday. Mondays are busy. I was just like, I just do not feel like going out. But I'm on the cover, so I'm like, I'm going to show up. And of course, I know people going. So I'm like,
did you hear that? Let's let that wash over us one more time. I'm on the cover.
I'm on the cover.
I'm on the cover.
I'm on the cover. Thank you again, Jezebel Magazine. You didn't need to, because there were definitely people hotter than me there. So I show up, and I'm with a bunch of girls, and we're hanging out, and we're having a good time. And these are all other girls that are in the magazine with me. And they're like, we need to get a photo of us, like, holding the magazine, of us with our pages open. We need to commemorate this somehow. This is a big deal. I'm like, you know what, girls? You're right. Like, I'm about to be a nobody. I'm about to be unemployed next week. Let me soak this up for the last week while it's still fun. So I grab the magazine, and we find the photographer, and I step up to the plate, and I'm ready to take a couple quick photos, and I hold the cover out, and the photographer's like, oh, open up to your page. I'm like, oh, no, like, this is me. Like, I'm going to take a photo with me right here. And he goes, okay, yeah. And so he starts snapping photos, and then he goes, okay, but now open to the page where you are. And I look at him, I'm like, this is me. And I'm like, I know I have a lot less makeup on and my hair looks a little different because I recently got it bleached, but this is me.
Did he fight with you over that? Like, no.
For a second. He's like, no. He like didn't understand. He's like, open up to the page where you are. I'm like, you don't understand. This is the page that I'm on. But he did. I just look very different because I'm obviously very much glammed up in the photo on the cover. And I'm just kind of in a natural glam. I look cute rather than like sexy, which was me on the cover. So that was a nice way to knock me down after I was feeling good about myself for the first time in a while.
You think he went to a manager and he's like, is she messing with me? Is that really her?
Is it too late to change the cover? Like, this girl, really? Look at all the baddies here.
How you doing?
I'm good. It was a chill day yesterday for the most part. No, that's a lie, Kristen. Why are you lying? I busted butt out of here to get to the gym so I could work out, so I can make it to my therapy appointment. Then after my therapy appointment, went home, got some stuff done, then went and picked up Jimmy from carpool, got back, and then just worked on the show.
Okay.
So yeah, that was my day yesterday.
That's plenty. Let's see. What do I got yesterday? Here, slight nap, acupuncture. Workout. I had two interviews yesterday, one with Rodney Ho from the AJC and one from Inside Radio. And then I just watched Emily Stanley last night on TV, pet my dog, went to sleep.
There you go.
There it is. How are you, Kat?
Good. Just had a long work day yesterday, working on stuff, the bonus content. It is a behemoth of a job,
yeah,
but
I bet.
Looks like we're going to have something ready to launch pretty soon, possibly tomorrow.
Oh,
but
yeah.
I was at it till 7 o'clock last night, just building out this new fan community site. It's so cool, guys. I'm really excited. So we're going to continue to release audio regularly on the podcast as you're listening now on Apple and Spotify. But I'm also building a special fan community where you'll have access to all the audio that we have for the past 25 years worth of shows that you can just sit and binge. It's uploaded on a rolling basis because we got to strip it off CD and VHS.
Crazy.
And I feel like half our audience doesn't know what VHS is. It's the videotapes. But I'm really excited about it.
And in this group here, are they going to be able to talk about the different bits and stuff like that?
Yes.
It is. So it's a different place to complain.
Yes. It's going to be a Patreon. So there's going to be an exclusive community fan chat or Burt Show fam chat that you guys will have access to. And we got a big chat going on the Discord servers as well.
Okay. So one more sort of reminder. Yes, this show is going away on after Friday's show. That is weird. But after that, for those of you that are super P1s and keep saying, what am I going to listen to? You can still listen to The Burt Show, and chances are really, really good because there's not a whole bunch that have been listening since day one. And we've kind of been giving you a sampler over the last 2 weeks of what was going on back then, man, the foundation of The Burt Show. And you get to listen every day, just like you would here. You could be in your car and listen to past shows.
Yeah, they're two different things. So if you want to keep listening for free on the podcast, you got it. We'll be doing highlights from the past 25 years. And if you want all of it, then you can sign up for our Patreon and I'll have that link soon.
So one of the top messages I've been getting lately that I really haven't been able to answer, I think because most don't know yet, is, hey, are you on Friday going to update everybody on what their next project is? And I think most people in here outside Cassie, who's going over to Pioneer with me, Katie going over to Pioneer with me, nobody really has full commitments yet. Now, I checked in with Tommy yesterday because he's got the same kind of wanderlust I do.
Right. Yeah, I've been waiting for this. I told you when you told us, I tried to not to hold back my smile too much because I knew this was the kick in the pants my wife needed to get what I want to do done. I want to sell everything and go RVing across America.
This is amazing.
I had this epiphany last October, and ever since then, I've been fully entrenched on YouTube, learning from other full-time RVers. There's several couples I follow. In fact, one couple, Barry and Darlene, they have a YouTube channel called Like There's No Tomorrow.
I feel like Darlene is an RV name.
Yeah.
Like you were born to be in an RV.
They're very cool though. Barry, they're from Florida, and Barry used to be in a band. I think it was like Reverend Funk and something. A very successful band, like a local playing clubs band. But anyway, they have been doing it 3 years, and they have a curriculum online that basically teaches you A to Z how to go full time. And you learn from their mistakes that they've made over the past 3 years. And
where did the epiphany come from last October?
I probably got mad during the show.
Might have been the day he was on the toilet. We were making fun of him and he quit.
That tracks. I'll look back at my text messages and see if you sent me a text message that you weren't coming back.
Oh, so, I sent Renee a text message that day.
Oh, you did?
Yeah, you told us that, yeah. So what would the dream be where you get in the RV, you have a destination, you stay there for a week, and then you go somewhere else and just live on the road for the rest of your life?
Well, there's a such thing in the RV world as the 333 rule and the 222 rule. And I'm probably going to live by the 222 rule. You travel 200 miles when you do have a travel day. You get there by 2 p.m., so you're not setting up in the dark. You're good to go. And we're notorious for that. We have camped a bunch of times, and we get there in the dark, and it's not a good thing. And then you stay 2 days, 2 weeks, so 222. Huh. And, you know, our goal is probably to stay 2 weeks wherever we go. So we just take a little piece at a time and go across the country.
Be careful, Tommy, right quick, because I want to issue a warning, because 2 weeks sounds great, but it's been a year for me in the RV, so.
Now, yours is two years.
Yeah.
These would be different places, you know, just 200 miles at a time.
So if you're putting your list together, your Mount Rushmore right now of the first three places that you're dreaming about RVing for 2 weeks at, what are the three places?
Well, it's not like we're going to go to Mount Rushmore out of the gate. I'm talking we're going to take it in 200 miles.
Yeah, we get chunks. But when you're taking those chunks, what are the locations along the way that you're most looking forward to?
I mean, we want to do all the national parks. I want to do all of those.
Oh, that'd be cool.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, there's a lot in the RV world. There's like Harvest Hosts we joined. And these are like little plate, like wineries, breweries that you can stay at. And you pay a membership and it's free to stay there. But then you have to spend $30 at the establishment. We went to one when we went up to New York to see my uncle recently. We stayed at a winery in Tennessee or a vineyard. And you're supposed to spend $30, which we ended up spending like $300.
$30 is really reasonable too, because a lot of RV parks, wherever you go, you have to pay like a fee for the night. So it can range depending like $30, or if you're beachside, $120. Disney has an RV park. It's like $200 a night. So to just to spend $30 at a winery and get to stay on property is kind of amazing.
I feel like there's got to be some kind of Buc-ee's tie-in here. Like some kind of sponsorship where you go to each and every Buc-ee's in the United States of America.
I would like to do that too. I mean, there's 50 plus alone in Texas where Buc-ee's was originated. Mm-hmm.
What about the pineapple RVers?
Nah, they're going to have to leave me alone.
Are those the swingers?
Yeah.
Is that a legit thing?
Yes.
It is.
The Burt Show.
Delete Me makes it easy, quick, and safe to remove your personal data online at a time when surveillance and data breaches are common enough to make everybody vulnerable. It is easier than ever to find personal information about people online. Having your address, your phone number, family members' names just hanging out there online, it's all pretty scary stuff, right? With Delete Me, you can protect your personal privacy or the privacy of your business from doxing attacks before sensitive information can be exploited. Look, I'm online all the time, and it freaks me out that my info is out there. Take control of your data, keep your private life private by signing up for Delete Me, now at a special discount just for you guys. Get 20% off your Delete Me plan when you go to join DeleteMe.com/Burt. Use the promo code BERT at checkout. That's joindeleteme.com/BERT. Enter the code BERT, B-E-R-T, at checkout.
Time to get buzzed on the hot goss from Hollywood with Abby. It's the Burt Show's entertainment buzz.
We got some very exciting news out of the reality TV entertainment world yesterday, because one of my favorite couples from Love is Blind Atlanta just welcomed their first baby into the world. Yeah. Did you guys see the photos of Lauren and Cameron from the first season of Love is Blind?
Mm-mm.
It was filmed in Atlanta. Oh my God, they're so cute.
I can't remember names. What was their storylines?
It was the very first season of Love is Blind. It was filmed in Atlanta, and I remember we were all invested in it because Love is Blind, it was its first season, and I don't think anybody really expected anybody to come out of that show and last. And a lot of the couples from that specific season have made it this far. I mean, 5 years at this point. And so the fact that they have a kid now is so cute.
I remember this show, its first season, having like a chokehold on everybody because it was like different, etc. But was it also during the pandemic, and is that why?
No. Yeah, no, it was during the pandemic.
Okay.
So it was like the one thing we could all do. This new Love is Blind show was on. And it was ironic because it's literally a show kind of about quarantining, because Love is Blind, you're in those pods. And I remember thinking, wow, it's almost like they predicted the future.
Because I remember, I think, because, you know, obviously the pandemic brought out some unique behaviors in all of us, like, you know, which is probably why Tiger King was so huge.
God, you remember the chokehold that thing you had on this country, man?
Oh, my God.
Oh, my God, I forgot about Tiger King.
Oh, yeah.
But in more salacious reality TV couple news, Rachel Kirkconnell, who is one half of a very popular bachelor couple that is now split up. She was dating a guy named Matt James, who again had a season during the pandemic on the Bachelor franchise. I remember this was like the first season that they had to essentially quarantine at this big resort in either Pennsylvania or New Jersey or somewhere up north, and it was gorgeous. And there was a little bit of controversy with their relationship, but they've been together since like 2022 or 2023, and they recently had a pretty big breakup in January. I can't remember specifically what happened, but he broke up with her while they were together in Japan, and then he like made the announcement later. Like, we all knew they had been broken up because she had to take a flight home from Japan, and we all knew this was happening because we could see their respective social media accounts, and we're like, oh my God, this is so awkward, are they going to get back together? And then Matt in January made an announcement that they had broken up. Well, now Rachel's doing the podcast rounds. She recently went on a podcast called Extra Dirty, which is kind of like the new Call Her Daddy on the Unwell Network. And she revealed that there is one thing in their relationship they didn't do for years. And I'm going to give you the kid warning here because it's a little bit of adult content, but it makes their breakup make so much more sense.
I feel like a virgin again. Guys, I haven't had sex way longer than you think. It's been years. Okay.
Years.
It has been so long. I feel like a virgin again, to where I don't want to just give it up to anyone. Like, I can't just like hook up with someone random at this point, because it's been so long that like I want it to be incredible.
But you don't want it to be a random person.
I think that's why I am a lover girl.
They have been together since like mid-2021 and only broke up in 2025. And you're telling me it's been years? I've been on the comments. I'm like, I have no one to talk about this with. this is insane.
So are they saying they didn't have sex while they were together?
Yes. Oh, that's why it's so wild. And I'm like, and it, I guess just for context, like you look at these two people and they're stupid hot. They're both so objectively attractive. And it's like, well, if you guys aren't doing it, well, who... How many other people are just like hanging out in their relationships? But then it makes you wonder, is something deeper happening here?
Like, is one of them gay?
Possibly. There's some rumors that are happening or that are coming out that maybe he might not prefer women, which is totally fine, but not if you're dating a woman.
No, I didn't even go there, but I was thinking, okay, so you're not doing each other, but are you doing other people?
Like you make it. Well, I think even couples that have the arrangement that they're going to hook up with other people are still hooking up with themselves each other, aren't they?
I wasn't referring to an arrangement. I was thinking like you whatever is going on in the relationship, you would seek that fulfillment elsewhere in the means of infidelity.
I guess. Okay.
Yeah, but they traveled together. I mean, again, they were in Japan when they broke up. So it's not like these are two people that are just living completely yeah. separate lives. They're like, he lived in New York and she lived in Atlanta and they just never saw each other. They were together all the time. And so I'm sitting there, I'm like, the tea is scalding.
Does she say in that podcast why? Like, who didn't want to or anything? Did they dig a little deeper on that? Because now I'm curious.
So when I saw the preview, the episode hasn't come out yet. So this is just the little clip that's making the rounds.
I do want to point something out and see if there is a double standard here. Because, and I'm all about, like, sharing your story, et cetera. I do think you have to be mindful when it involves somebody else, depending on what the story is. But if he had gone on a podcast and talked about not having had sex with her for years, would people have the same piqued interest or would they be mad at him for talking about their sex life?
I think it's a little different because their breakup was so, a lot of people didn't like him after the breakup because of the way he handled it. Basically gotcha. Being, I can't remember, because she did a tell-all already, basically saying like he was thinking about breaking up with her, but then like still took her to Japan. And so I think people would see it more as him punching down if he talked about it. Whereas I think a lot of people think that she was the victim in the breakup, to where I think they feel a little bit more receptive to her being more open about it.
As a sidebar, I don't care how many arguments we're getting in. If we're on a vacation that far away, I'm staying in it until we get home. It must have been one hell of like one last fight where they're like, I can't stand you anymore. I'm going to find a flight and get out of here immediately, which is going to cost me like $5,000 to get home. I want to know what the backbreaker was.
They got that influencer money. They can leave if they need to.
The Burt Show.
Now seems like a good time to institute a new rule on the Burt Show, saying that we only have 4 days left. And that new rule is when we are factually wrong, we retract our statement and we make it right the next day.
When have we ever been factually right?
That's what I'm saying.
You got another 25 years?
That's what I'm saying is that we got 4 days for this new rule. So you can start it off with the retraction from yesterday.
I can start it off with the retraction from yesterday?
Somebody got a story wrong.
You literally just told
him. Oh, the one I just told him, sorry.
Literally 60 seconds ago, off the air, just told me this story.
She's just looking at us like, what are you guys talking about?
I was literally going back to the show yesterday, and I'm like, oh, crap, what did I get wrong? Because I get so many things wrong. So I got a text from Coy Wire. He's a former NFL player. He's now the sports analyst for CNN. He is a longtime friend of the Burt Show. Didn't he, like, come to your house and try to pull a prank on you and scare you? Like, Stacey let him into your home?
Yeah, he was doing some kind of series where he was pranking different people around Atlanta.
Man, that man loves a prank.
He really does. So, it's after the show, and I go home to take my nap, and I think he might be under the bed or something like that. Scares the crap out of me, and I get into like some kind of karate pose. I don't know karate, and I start cussing so badly that he couldn't use it because I cussed so much.
Oh my God.
Thank you so much for profanity that the prank was unusable for whatever he was doing it for.
You couldn't even bleep it out?
No, it was so bad. I'm like, I was cussing left and right. Not at him, like I was mad, just that I didn't know who I was cussing at. He was in like a costume.
Yeah, if it's fight or flight, Bert goes in just a heavy like, profanity.
Let's go in or whatever the heck it was, but no, I couldn't cut around it.
So Coy hits me up because Coy came on yesterday and shared some lovely, kind words about the show and also shared some like in true Koi fashion, had to share an embarrassing story. Shared one about you losing your tooth at lunch.
Yeah.
One of your veneers falling out. And then proceeds to tell a story of how we were on vacation together and he comes into like wherever we were staying. He said the cabin, because we did a cabin trip together one time. And there I am on all fours with my butt in the air. And Claire, his wife, has like the flashlight on her phone and she's inspecting my backside because there was something going on and she was checking it for me, right?
Your butt. She's checking a pimple on your butt.
Yes. And he said it happened at the cabin, to which his wife, Claire, said, "Koi, Michael, that was in Mexico, yeah. Not at the cabin."
So we needed to set the record straight. Yes. Factually, it happened in Mexico.
Yes. Okay. Factually, it happened in Puerto Morelos, Mexico, is where the butt pimple went down.
Is it more socially acceptable for your butt to be out in Mexico? Is this why we're fact checking?
I feel like yes, it is.
Okay.
Because you wear less clothing there in the Yucatan.
Yeah. And we're trying to help relations with Mexico right now. So getting this straight here.
Yes.
This will help travel for sure.
Hopefully this gets you to head to Puerto Morelos.
Yeah, this was definitely had a major political impact internationally. Yeah. Good job, guys. You're welcome.
All right, so you guys are going to have to remind me of this because you have explained it to me before, but I've never fully understood it. And now that I see it so often, you know how like when you get a red car, all of a sudden you see nothing but red cars? What's the name of that? There's like a name for that.
Synchronicity, maybe?
Mm-hmm.
Confirmation bias?
I know. I always say the wrong name whenever this comes up, so let me look it up.
And this is the one I'm going to explain here isn't even a visual one, but I want to give homework assignment to parents. And I think moms more than dads. And I just want you to be aware of it, and I'm going to stop the problem today.
It's the Bader-Meinhof phenomenon. It's the full name.
Say it again.
Bader-Meinhof, but... Rebecca also calls it cognitive bias, which I think is a lot easier to say.
So I don't know when it was that I started to get really, really present to how much women apologize over the dumbest things. Like literally no reason to apologize. I think books have been written about this very thing.
Oh, yeah.
And I just have noticed it like for the last couple of years. So whenever it happens, it's like loud in my ears. And there were two examples that I'm pulling from this weekend that I would like to share with you. I would like you to re-explain the history on why it happens. And then I want to beg parents to be present when you're doing it to your kids so it can actually stop. So this weekend, I'm in Athens with Amanda, my girlfriend. We're at Dooley's. It's a bar up in Athens. I go to the men's room. She goes to the women's room. I get out before she does. So I'm waiting for her. And there is a woman in front of the door of the restroom that Amanda is in. Amanda comes out and walks past the woman. It's a one-person bathroom. Walks past the woman. There was literally nothing to apologize for. But Amanda walks out of the bathroom, and as the stranger is going into the bathroom, she says, "Oh, I'm so sorry." And I'm sitting there going, for what? She opened up the door. She came out of the bathroom. You walked into the bathroom. There was no bumping into each other. There was no one getting in the way of each other. I still am trying to figure out what that apology was for.
Well, do you want me to tell you?
Double back in a second.
Okay.
And the second one happened at Michael's while we were shopping for some Halloween stuff over the weekend.
I love Michael's.
So does Amanda.
it taps into my crafty heart.
She refuses to let a holiday go by without us decorating the house.
Mm-hmm.
Refuses.
Mm-hmm.
Anywho. So, we're in line and I'm just about at the cash register, and then she remembers that we forgot something. So I am taking the shopping cart now the wrong way back out of the line. There is nobody in the line at this point. But
you imbecile.
Right. So I'm going the wrong way on a one-way street. Mm-hmm. And as I'm taking the cart, about a 14, 15-year-old girl, really, really sweet, apologizes to me for getting in my way while I'm going the wrong way down this corridor, right? So I even said to her at the time, no reason to apologize. I'm the one in the wrong here. Mm-hmm. So, and then I go on my way. You've explained it before. I still don't know where it comes from. Once you explain where it comes from, let's try to solve a little bit of it this morning. Like,
good luck.
Let's make sure, like, it's starting somewhere. I'm assuming with moms.
No, it starts with men.
With men. Okay, yes, explain.
I do want to give you props because you telling that girl she didn't need to apologize is exactly what needs to be done.
Oh,
thank
cool.
you.
Yeah. So for me, from my perspective, hearing these two things, it's Amanda made someone wait and took up space when someone else was trying to use something that she was using.
Wait, what? Explain that
Amanda
again.
Didn't apologize. The other woman did.
The other woman apologized?
Yeah.
Oh, I thought Amanda apologized.
No.
Oh, okay. Well, then it makes even more sense, honestly, because the other woman was probably in Amanda's way in some capacity. Like, oh, sorry, moving out the way. And it all stems, and the same with the girl who was in your way, even though she had the right of the way. It stems from the fact that women, society, let me rephrase what I said earlier. It's not men. It's society has conditioned women to take up less space, to not be a problem, to always be agreeable and nice. And if you notice, some women will try it out on sidewalks where they won't move out of someone's way. And this is men will plow right into them because men are not used to moving out of the way for someone else. So women are always the ones who have to move out the way, who have to minimize ourselves. So when you're in someone's way, man or woman, you apologize because you feel like you've inconvenienced them.
All right, so getting to what Kristen says all the time is let's get to the why. So where does this start? Where does it start? Like, where does a young girl start to realize that she's taking up space and apologizing?
Okay, so the question you're asking is not where did this initially start that women felt the need to over-apologize and to, like, minimize ourselves and diminish ourselves. But
I'm trying to bring you into your own home, right? And if you have a daughter, where does that start? And just being aware of where it's starting so we can be helpful.
Because I have a friend who, one of my dearest friends, and I love her, and she is an over-apologizer. I mean, apologizes incessantly. And I constantly tell her, I'm like, B, there's no need to apologize, babe. Like, you're not doing anything wrong. Like, and so as far as looking at, like, current day, what's happening in homes? I think it's a fascinating question. And I don't know.
If you guys have an answer, 1-855-BIRCHO.
I think it might have something to do with the desire to be considerate or just aware of somebody else's experience, even if you're quote unquote not in the wrong. Like, for example, when the girl was going down the right way, she recognized, oh, you probably needed to turn around, thought you weren't doing anything wrong, and now you're kind of in this awkward standoff to where she's like, oh, I'm sorry, this is kind of weird, but not sorry in the sense that she feels apologetic, but more sorry is a blanket term for I'm recognizing that we're both kind of in this awkward situation. I'm sorry that I'm a part of it, if that makes sense.
So as I'm tapping into this and for myself, right? Because I too am an apologizer, right? There is like this innate sense of protection, like you're trying to protect yourself. So if you are in a position where you are with somebody, and especially if it's a man who is bigger and stronger or whatever.
Well, clearly that's not the gaze here.
Well, but
you've
still
got some big muscles.
But so if I'm in a position like that, my default, even if I'm not in the wrong, is to apologize, to prevent any conflict, to keep my personal body safe.
Okay, so where did you learn this? Right, because Cassie initially said it. You said this is like a man thing, like
men. But then I rephrase society in general. I think it's multi-layered. I think you're right. I think daughters see their moms apologize and other women in their life and they follow suit. They learn from that. I also think that men perhaps don't move out of the way or give women space. I mean, you'll see men interview or a survey done of men in the workplace. And after a meeting, they'll be like, the women talk the entire time. I could barely get a word in when women talked 20% of the meeting. And so it's a constant reinforcement from everywhere that says you
time
need to be
get
small.
Buzzed on the hot goss.
See,
from
case in point,
yes!
I'm trying to talk and a white man tries to cut me off.
I think the phone bumped into it.
That wasn't me.
That white man. I'm kidding. But like, I think
so
it's just reinforced.
So it's just a space thing?
It's everything. Kristen's right with the protection issue. It's a space issue. It's a be seen, not heard issue. I think it also depends on who you date, who your parents are, like who reinforces that message. If you're with a partner who maybe comes from the seen, not heard mentality, then you're going to go ahead and curl in on yourself and say sorry a lot. Whereas if you're with a partner who lifts you up and is like, take up space, you deserve it, then maybe you won't be doing it as much.
Like, I love you. This is not a black and white problem. This is a gray problem. So you're not going to get a black and white answer. Like, it's going to be nuanced. It's going to be layered. All I know is for myself, I, with like whatever self-esteem issues I had in middle school, I think everybody's going to have their own unique experience as to like, you know, why they over-apologize. And like, if my gut instinct is as an adult woman, if I'm in a place, I'm to, in order to like, make sure everybody, I am hyper aware of other people's emotions and other people's, and this is just how I, there's a backstory there. I learned a lot in therapy. Anyway, so I'm very hyper aware of other people's moods. So in order to maintain a mood and so things don't get uncomfortable, and not even uncomfortable, but so people don't get upset, so I don't have to worry about being in a dangerous situation, I'm going to apologize, even if it's unnecessary, to make sure everybody is cool and I'm not putting myself in any kind of position where something can go wrong.
So Cassie, what can you do today, because you have a daughter, what can you do today to make sure that she doesn't fall into the same cycle?
So what I do is when she apologizes, because it's already started with her and she's five, and I'm aware of this. Like, I try not to say I'm sorry, but it still happens. I tell her exactly what Kristen tells her friend. I said, you don't need to apologize. Mm-hmm. You did nothing wrong. Mm-hmm. Don't apologize if you didn't do anything wrong. And just reinforcing that.
And then did she
that.
Say, oh, I'm sorry for apologizing?
Yes. In the beginning, she did.
Is that right?
She said, oh, sorry, every time I call her. Now she doesn't say sorry anymore for apologizing.
Here's Jenny. Hey, Jenny, good morning. You're part of the Burt Show. You think this is a cultural thing?
Well, yeah, listening to you guys talk about it, I'm totally on the different spectrum. So growing up, our house was very matriarchal. And since Hispanic men have a, you know, je ne sais quoi about being very macho, we teach our girls to stand in your presence. Like, don't be diminished. Don't let them think, you know, they're bigger than you and have power over you. And so it's very culture in our household. The men tend to apologize more than the women.
I dig it. I dig that household right there.
Appreciate you calling. Thank you.
The Burt Show.
Delete Me makes it easy, quick, and safe to remove your personal data online at a time when surveillance and data breaches are common enough to make everybody vulnerable. It is easier than ever to find personal information about people online. Having your address, your phone number, family members' names just hanging out there online, it's all pretty scary stuff, right? With Delete Me, you can protect your personal privacy or the privacy of your business from doxing attacks before sensitive information can be exploited. Look, I'm online all the time, and it freaks me out that my info is out there. Take control of your data. Keep your private life private by signing up for Delete Me, now at a special discount just for you guys. Get 20% off your Delete Me plan when you go to join DeleteMe.com/Burt. Use the promo code Burt at checkout. That's joindeleteme.com/Burt. Enter the code Burt, B-E-R-T, at checkout.
So you and Bart bickering at each other this morning?
No.
What's happening?
No, but there is a, I think parents will feel this pain. So yeah, there's a little bit going on, but you know, life goes on as well. You still got to be a wife, still got to be a mom amidst all the change. And I got this in Jimmy's backpack forever ago, but of course, in true KK fashion, procrastinated, waited to the last minute, which was this morning before I walked out the door, because mm-hmm. today is picture day at school.
Okay, aww. It's a big day here,
yes.
Man.
Jimmy, we were practicing our smile last night.
That's like the last thing that kid needs. All he does is smile.
I know. He's the happiest kid. And so, but it was still fun nonetheless. And it was so cute because, you know, he and Dada were practicing the smiles. And I'm like, because he came, when I picked him up yesterday from school, he's like, yeah. His teacher said, we have to look extra pretty tomorrow. And I was like, you got that right. You're going to be so handsome. He's like, uh-huh, I'm handsome. And so I just really like, you know, amping him up, right? And so right before he goes to bed last night, he's like, Mama, how's my smile? And he gave me a smile. And I'm like, oh, you look great, kid. You're going to be amazing. So this morning, I waited to the last possible second to fill out the form for picture day, right? For whatever package you want.
Right.
So I got the printout. And I'm looking at it, and there's just so many options, and there's all these different backdrops, and I'm like, what the heck is this? So I was just like, I got an option with a couple of prints, but more so than anything, I need the digital download so we can do whatever we want with it. So here's the text exchange that my husband and I are having at 6 a.m. in the morning. The package that you selected includes low-res digital download that's perfect for social media. Do you want the high-res digital download? High-res. Thanks for double-checking. And just the high-res digital download, no physical photos, correct? Correct. Do you want standard retouching for $12 more? Psh, sure, why not? If you got to Photoshop my kid and airbrush him, I don't care.
You're going to let them airbrush Jimmy?
Yeah.
Your kid's too good-looking for that. That kind of stuff is for the ugly kid.
What I'm thinking is, so this is the reason why I checked yes on this, and this is the mother... Like, this is the mind of a mother. I love my husband, all right? And the fact that he's doing all this, and, like, he's amazing. But Jimmy's hair in the morning.
Oh, no.
Yeah. And he refuses to put gel in it. So I'm doing that in case Jimmy needs a hair retouch. I think his face, like you were saying earlier, Jimmy's got a great face card. Mm-hmm. I'm not worried about that.
There's nothing that Bart can do this morning that will mess up Jimmy's face.
No.
But his hair. I'm not confident about that.
We got a lot of cowlicks, and I'm really concerned that this is going to be.
When I hear retouching, I just think of me when I face tune a little too hard, and then I don't look, and I have that iPhone face.
Yeah.
And then it's like, no one thinks this is me.
Wasn't there something about that, though, back in the day when the pictures came back and they were a little on the janky side, there was hair kind of all over the place. You got them back and you were stuck with it.
Yeah.
And you look back at them and you laugh at them with such fondness, right?
Yes.
Those days are gone, man.
Yeah, no, this is like...
Everybody's perfect.
And then it's like, okay, yes to the retouching in case, you know, his hair is all sticking up. And you get to choose two additional backgrounds, apparently. So he sends me a photo of all the backgrounds and there's 15 backgrounds you can choose from. So I'm like... C3 and C5. And then he's like, do you know his student ID? And I'm like, I don't. Where would we even find that? I'm getting serious mom guilt right now.
You guys have so much more to juggle.
Like, I'm just so, and he just, plus Bart, he goes, it's not required. We'll find it out later.
Can I say, we've had the same conversation. I mean, the backgrounds are unhinged that we were offered. It was like them in front of a farmhouse.
Yes.
In middle America. It's weird.
Oh, the wheat? The wheat field?
Yes, there's a wheat field. There's like just stuff that has nothing to do with school.
Uh-huh.
And I got so overwhelmed. I'm like, I want just to download the picture. I don't want all the physical copies. I got so overwhelmed that I didn't do it. And then when they send the little postcard that's like, order your child's prints, I just cut her photo out of that and hung it up. I'm like, there we go. Got it.
Has there been a movie made yet where... a comet comes out of the sky and it lands on Earth, right? And then right after that, we're in the current 2025. But we flash back to 1985. Everything that we were doing in 85, we are forced to do in 2025. All right, so there's no touch-ups.
No.
There are no cell phones anymore.
No.
We're stuck with like four channels and MTV.
Yes.
Whatever MTV was when this comet hit has to be like right after that.
Yeah, there's more than four channels. We're not just dealing with ABC, CBS, okay. NBC, and I think it was Fox.
MTV and HBO have to be around.
Okay
but outside of that, could the world survive... If we had to flashback, we're currently the same ages and everything. Nothing changes there, except all the technology goes back to 1984. Could we even survive?
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah, we could survive.
Because you had it, and now it's being taken away.
Ugh.
And it's very different than living through it when you didn't know what you didn't have.
But then you're on the same playing field as everybody else. It's not like you're the one person who doesn't get to have an iPhone. Mm-hmm. Like, everybody is still using a typewriter or whatever.
I am guessing crime would be up. At least for a little while.
Because people
depression
be bored.
Depression would be. If you're not scrolling on your phone.
Depression for sure.
Depression for sure.
But I thought depression is up because of the internet and because of social media.
Yeah, but then you take away that dopamine hit. I think people would be depressed. And then I think it would calm down once people stopped using ChatGPT to make their grocery lists. I think they'd be a lot happier.
Listen, making my grocery list on ChatGPT makes me very happy because it makes my life easier.
Well, enjoy your drinking water while you have it.
Hey, The Bird Show.